and welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 categories smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Outliers, by Malcolm Gladwell, and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. "The people who stand before kings may look like they did it all by themselves, but in fact, they are invariably the beneficiaries of hidden advantages and extraordinary opportunities and cultural legacies that allow them to learn and work hard and make sense of the world in ways others cannot." End quote. In Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell debunks the myth that extraordinarily successful people are simply born that way. Instead, he argues that you must also consider factors such as unique opportunities or circumstances, culture, and simply the number of hours that are focused upon one area of expertise. Malcolm Gladwell is the talented author of The Tipping Point, Blink, and other great books, and has been a staff writer at The New Yorker since 1996. In this Life Note, we'll look at why when you were born matters, the 10,000-hour rule, how outliers have help, and several case studies illustrating factors that led to the occurrence of outliers. This engaging and often surprising book may very well lead you to look at successful people in a whole new way. When you were born matters. Mature versus gifted. Quote, "The small advantage that the child born in the early part of the year has over the child born at the end of the year persists. It locks children into patterns of achievement and underachievement, encouragement and discouragement that stretch on for years and years." End quote. Let's first begin our discussion of outliers by looking at exceptional children. There's often an unfounded belief that a child has exceptional talent when in fact perhaps they were just born earlier than the other kids in their class or on their sports team, according to Malcolm Gladwell. Their advantage in their academic or athletic ability could simply be due to their age. He references a study of fourth graders where economists Kelly Bedard and Elizabeth Dewey looked at math and science test scores, taking into account which month the kids were born. Interestingly, quote, "they found that among fourth graders, the oldest children scored somewhere between 4 and 12 percentile points better than the youngest children," end quote. That's a big difference. So at first glance, what might appear to be a really smart kid could in fact just be a kid who is months older than the lower scoring kids, giving them an advantage in maturity that resulted in better test scores. This advantage then continues to be perpetuated as the older kids are put in the advanced stream, so that each year they continue to learn better skills as a result of that initial early advantage. Another example involves looking at hockey teams in Canada. Gladwell shares how a Canadian psychologist named Roger Barnsley and his wife Paula realized that the successful players in the Ontario Junior Hockey League were much more likely to have been born in the first few months of the year. Based on the cutoff dates to get into the league, those more mature players born in January, February, March, or April had a built-in advantage based on their age. The thought-provoking point that Gladwell makes through these examples is that these kids might not really be naturally gifted outliers after all. You have to take their age and maturity level into account. Have you prematurely written yourself off as being bad at something or not naturally gifted? Could it be that those you are comparing yourself to simply have more experience? Or do your children simply have less experience or less maturity than their classmates? It's worth taking a closer look at the circumstances so you can adjust your strategy and expectations accordingly. 10,000 hours. Geniuses are not born, they're made. Quote, "Even Mozart, the greatest musical prodigy of all time, couldn't hit his stride until he had his 10,000 hours in." End quote. One of Gladwell's most compelling suggestions in Outliers is the idea that there is a direct link between extraordinary success and the number of hours spent on honing your craft, whether it's music or computer programming as your area of focus. He suggests that it takes 10,000 hours to achieve the level of excellence that people such as Mozart or Bill Gates have achieved. First, let's consider Bill Gates. No one is arguing that he's not brilliant. Yet it's also interesting to consider the unique circumstances and opportunities that he had, which allowed him to develop his programming skills. Bill Gates had a series of opportunities that allowed him more time to practice on the computer than likely almost any other young person at that time. And he was able to practice on a specific type of computer that allowed real-time programming when he was only in eighth grade, during a time when few people had this type of unique access. Quote, "By the time Gates dropped out of Harvard after his sophomore year to try his hand at his own software company, he'd been programming practically nonstop for 7 consecutive years. He was way past 10,000 hours. End quote. What about Mozart? Music critic Harold Schomburg suggests that he, quote, "actually developed late since he didn't produce his best work until he had been composing for more than 20 years. End quote. Of all the big thoughts and outliers, this 10,000-hour rule is perhaps the most empowering one and will likely be particularly interesting to achievement-oriented Lifebook members. Rather than lamenting the fact that you were not born a child prodigy, you can simply focus on putting the hours in that will develop whatever talent you wish to pursue. And that is completely 100% in your control. Outliers have help. Wealth and other advantages. Quote, "The wealthier parents raised their kids one way, and the poorer parents raised their kids another way." End quote. In addition to looking at the factors of opportunity and hours of work, the author also considers economic and cultural legacy as driving forces in the lives of outliers. Being born in a wealthy family matters, and it's not just the actual financial situation that causes the impact. Wealthy parents actually raise their kids differently than those living in poor families. Gladwell references sociologist Annette Leroux, who studied third graders from both wealthy and poor homes. She found distinct differences between how the kids were raised, and the differences aligned exactly into those two classes, wealthier versus poor. Quote, "The middle-class parents talked things through with their children, reasoning with them. They didn't just issue commands. They expected their children to talk back to them, to negotiate, to question adults in positions of authority." End quote. Gladwell goes on to say about those in this study that, quote, "The poor parents, by contrast, are intimidated by authority. They react passively and stay in the background." End quote. So having wealthy parents helps create kids who are outliers, not just through their money, rather through the practical skills that are taught from those parents. Economic legacy, then, isn't just about the actual wealth. It's about learning important skills as well. An underlying point here is that to understand the full story behind an outlier, you also must look a little deeper at their family backgrounds and the specific skills they were taught in the home. Are they truly a natural genius? Or did they have parents who taught them how to be successful by example? Are there role models that you can look to develop those practical skills that might not have been a natural part of your upbringing? Again, don't dismiss yourself for not having certain skills or being a natural at something. In fact, most people aren't naturals. You may, however, have to work a bit harder to gain the skills and knowledge you need in order to reach your own desired level of success. From Adversity to Opportunity, the story of lawyer Joe Flom. Quote, "Successful people don't do it alone. Where they come from matters. They're products of particular places and environments." End quote. Now let's consider the flip side, how being born into a certain situation that may seem to be a disadvantage can turn out to be an advantage after all. Gladwell illustrates this with the story of Joe Flom, a successful lawyer and partner of law firm Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meager, and Flom, one of the largest law firms in the world. Joe Flom had several obstacles that actually worked in his favor. One of these was that he was Jewish during a time where, quote, "If you were not of the right background and religion and social class, and you came out of law school in that era, you joined some smaller, second-rate, upstart law firm on a rung below the big names downtown, or you simply went into business for yourself and took whatever came in the door." That is, whatever legal work the big downtown firms did not want for themselves. End quote. What happened to Joe was that he was given the type of work that was disdained by the top law firms at the time, litigation and proxy fights, which were integral to hostile takeovers. The old line firms just did not want to get involved in that type of work. As a result, they came to Joe to do it. As a result, he developed extensive expertise in these areas. When this expertise was in demand in the 1970s and 80s due to major activity in mergers and acquisitions, Joe Flom fully leveraged his expertise in litigation and proxy fights and became highly successful. He suddenly was in the right place at the right time, and he had the needed skills to take advantage of it. Previously, we looked at how coming from a wealthy family helped shape outliers in certain advantageous ways. Yet in Joe's case, we see that having a challenging background can also prove to be a major factor in one's success. The particular time, place, and circumstance that we find ourselves in clearly makes a difference. It's then up to us to make the most of the circumstances we're in. Is there a situation in your life that feels like a huge disadvantage, a real challenge? How can you turn that around as Joe Flom did? How can you turn your seeming disadvantages into major advantages? The School of Hard Knocks might be a pretty good school to attend after all. Plane crashes and culture. Air disasters. Quote, "Who we are cannot be separated from where we're from. And when we ignore that fact, planes crash." End quote. Our cultural norms and legacies have a major impact on us, as Malcolm Gladwell points out in a fascinating, tragic example of a Korean Air flight crash, as well as another separate plane crash involving Colombian airliner Avianca. In both examples, communication between the pilot and the first officers were somewhat ambiguous, in part due to the cultural norms of those countries. In these countries, South Korea and Colombia, where there is a high respect for authority, and therefore a way of communicating that is often deferential, or mitigated, in other words, less direct, than the type of very direct communication that is normal in the United States, for example. In the case of the Avianca flight, despite the seriousness of the situation, an emergency where the flight was almost out of fuel, the first officer does not use the word emergency when communicating with air traffic control. Because of the deferential style of communication in Colombia, he simply was not clear in expressing what a serious emergency they were facing. Similarly, in a Korean Air crash, the first officer did not use strong enough communication to the pilot to convey his unease that the runway was not in sight, even though they were 500 feet away from crashing. The full story of what happened is masterfully told by the author and is a dramatic example of how our cultural norms impact us in profound ways. To understand these airline crash outliers, you must fully understand the cultural context that led to the accidents. Cultural legacies have a key impact in how we see the world, how we communicate, and how we operate in general. You may be drawn to consider how your own cultural legacy impacts how you operate in the world. Do you have a certain premise that is a product of your heritage or your upbringing? How is your cultural legacy impacting the choices you make? Is it time to bring some increased consciousness here? Rice paddies and math. Hard work and its impact. Quote, "Throughout history, not surprisingly, the people who grow rice have always worked harder than almost any kind of farmer." End quote. Let's look now at another example of cultural context and its impact. It seems that there's a link between the cultural norm in Asia of working hard in the rice paddies and their resulting success in math. The connection is surprising. After all, what does growing rice have to do with math? Gladwell writes, quote, "Go to any Western college campus and you'll find that Asian students have a reputation for being in the library long after everyone else has left," end quote. His point is that there's a link between hard work and success, which is critical in both rice growing as well as math. Growing rice is tricky and requires diligence and persistence. Same with math. Gladwell later explores the direct link with diligence and math success by telling us about a test called the TIMSS test, which measures math and science among elementary and junior high school students worldwide. In addition to taking the actual test, the students have to fill out a long questionnaire, about 120 questions long, which is quite tedious. It turns out that the students who are willing to answer all of the 120 questions are the exact same students that will score the best on solving the math problems. Why is this? It's because to be good at math, you need to be willing to put in the time, discipline, and hard work to keep working at the math problem until you solve it. And yes, that's the same hard work and discipline that will get you up before dawn 360 days a year to tend the rice paddies. Can we suggest that this might also be the same level of hard work and discipline that you can bring forward in completing the goals that you have carefully developed in your own life? Whether it's solving a math problem or figuring out how to reach your own level of financial independence, you were not born knowing how to do these things, but you can certainly get there, one step at a time. What we've learned in all of the earlier examples of outliers and how they got that way is that opportunities, circumstances, culture, determination, and hours spent can all factor into the equation of success. And if you want to become truly world-class at something, you absolutely can. Just start whittling away at those hours, and eventually mastery will be within your reach. So there we have it, Malcolm Gladwell's fascinating exploration of the factors which make people extraordinarily successful. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.